Welcome to the PlayStation 5 Central Podcast. We give you all the news, the leaks,
Remies.
And
the... Doing well.
Oh, leaks.
This is crazy. I'm joined by Jordan and Vi Korth. How are you two going?
Oh, he's gone a bit South African there. I'm here with Vi Korth.
Vi Korth and Jordan.
If anyone wants to hear the best South African accent, watch Blood Diamond with Leo DiCaprio.
Oh, yes.
it's an accent.
All right, we've got a jam-packed show of news. So let's get into it, guys. Elden Ring has been delayed.
By a month.
Which is bizarre. A month? What?
It is a month. And they've given reasoning behind it, which I think is... And they've given really specific reasoning. It's not just to polish. They actually said, looking at the thing here, it's not in front of me. Oh, the depth and strategic freedom of the game exceeded initial expectations. Thank you for your trust and patience.
So you need an extra month? That's not that enough time, guys, is it?
I wonder what strategic freedom means. Like, I can see that they've written that, but what does strategic freedom actually mean?
And you've put it against Horizon Forbidden West, Saints Row, Dying Light 2 in February.
Dying Light 2 is never coming out. It should be called Deadlight because that's never going.
So you reckon Dying Light's getting pushed, and you reckon, do you think Saints Row will get pushed as well?
Well, yeah. those two are the losers. So if I was their business advisor, I would recommend to
No,
move
I
it
disagree.
Away.
I actually think Dying Light 2 beats Horizon. That's another topic for another day. No joke.
Okay, I understand.
I'm serious.
I understand Dying Light has a cult following and a very strong cult following.
And it's on all consoles. So it's got that.
And it's on all consoles. But come on, Dan Allen Gaming.
No, I'm serious.
The cult of three people.
I'm serious. And I'm very excited for Horizon. Like, I'm its biggest fan. I was the first in the world to platinum the first game. I don't think you knew that.
I knew that.
I knew that.
Anyway, so Elden Ring in Feb.
There is also a closed beta test beginning in November for Elden Ring. So that's still happening. So it doesn't look like it's, you know, panic stations at all.
Can we play that? Can we?
It's closed. So it's a closed beta test. So I wonder how you should be able to access it in some way.
There is also leaked gameplay. It goes for about 25 seconds or so. It actually shows a lot for 25 seconds, but nothing groundbreaking. I think it's what everyone expects. You just see the movement. It's very sort of Dark Souls like movement.
I'll be disappointed if the game doesn't have more story to it.
George Martin,
it can't be like Dark Souls with just notes and things like that and basic lore stuff. It's got to be more than that.
Okay, am I the only one who is? I'm just a bit over storytelling through written notes.
I'm over it. I'm so over it.
I think Deathloop did it a bit, and I understand Deathloop. Like, you need it for the story sometimes too. And what I really loved about Deathloop.
Okay,
right,
this hold off on Deathloop.
I'll say one thing. What I loved about it is, if you didn't read the note, a little summary would come up on what the note was. So it made life easy.
That was good.
I would say that. So, Vike, have you ever played? Again, this isn't me, like, you know, pulling an e-penis or anything like that. But Vike, have you played like a From Software game, like a Dark Souls or a Bloodborne or anything?
No.
And Dan, you've played Dark Souls, but did you play it like extensively?
I played, finished one, Dark Souls 1, didn't finish 2. Played through majority of 3 and played through a little bit of Sekiro and played through the Neo series.
Yeah.
Bloodborne?
But no Bloodborne. Yeah.
And I should say that, like, I'm saying this, but like I've only played Bloodborne and a bit of Dark Souls.
What else am I missing? Demon Souls. I didn't play Demon Souls.
Yeah. I want to get to Demon Souls eventually. So I've played through those.
I find sometimes, sorry to cut you off, but I don't want to go through the monotony of getting my ass kicked.
Yeah.
You've got to be in the mood for it.
Mm.
And I feel like I'm only in the mood for a game like that once a month, every month, like once a month, a year.
And they're so time consuming, those games, because they do kick your butt a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What I was trying to say was their stories are never, I don't think nothing would match. It'd be too hard to do a story in a Dark Souls game like that, that is with cutscenes and that sort of thing. It just doesn't. Because it's all about the atmosphere and
the lore. Like,
and it's, because it's not so much story, it's more lore.
So you think the cutscene will pull you out of the atmosphere?
I don't think it'll pull you out of the atmosphere, but I just don't think it's the atmosphere they're trying to create.
Yeah,
it's
not like the From identity.
Yeah, it's more like this has happened. Come and see what's happened. Like, you're not, it's, everything's already happened in these games and you're really just finding out about it as you go.
Yeah.
I would say I can understand what Dan's saying, because I think that's what I want too, in the fact that I understand Dark Souls has that, Bloodborne has that, but this is different in a way. Like, I want this to be a different experience. Yeah. And I want this to have the story, you know, I want this to be a bit different from the identity of Dark Souls. I don't want this to be another Bloodborne, Soulsborne game in that way. I want it to be, with a more story. And I'm like, if you get George R. R. Martin just for the lore, like, I don't know. Like, I understand. Yeah. I'd really like a story.
What's the difference? Why not just call it a Dark Souls 4? Or what is going to be the difference if it's not in that aspect? Because the gameplay looks similar, doesn't it?
The setting.
The settings look similar. There's boss fights as usual.
And you're like a knight, you know?
Yeah.
I wonder if it'll be a tad more, not political, but if there'll be a little bit more like throne intrigue within this game.
Just because you can traverse the world with a horse, that's not a big difference. You know what I mean? You need a bit more than that to be a different series. So, like, Bloodborne had a very specific atmosphere and design to it. And the gameplay was different as well.
Yeah.
It wasn't a Jordan. It was. Yeah.
And the same as Sekiro. Sekiro was different because
you had to be aggressive.
Yeah. It was fast paced and there was like the grappling hook and that sort of thing. Yeah, I think
this would be there was a grappling hook. That was a good addition. For Sekiro,
I think this definitely will be different because it's intentional that they've called it Elden Ring and not Dark Souls. I think they're done with the Dark Souls IP anyway. They've moved on from, I think they're not going back to that.
Do you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it will be different, but I don't know how different. I don't know exactly how different it will be and whether you'll be more of a participant in the story of the game or whether you will be a lot more passive like you have been in the past in these From Software games.
Look, you know the boss fights are going to be unreal.
Oh, they're going to be absolutely unreal.
And the soundtrack, you know, so. Yeah. Next story, PS5 finally breaks Nintendo sales after a 33-month streak on top. Hold on, so Nintendo were on top for 33?
The Switch was. Just the Switch.
Wow, yeah. And they're finally breaking the trend.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is in the US as well. So 33 months.
Man, that Switch has... It outdid my expectations.
When did the Switch come out? Has it been out?
I will say I was wrong about that one. Sorry, what was that?
When did the Switch come out? Was it 2017?
16, maybe?
I'll have to have a look. Because that's like almost its entire life. It spent more time on the top of the charts than it has anywhere else.
Since November 2018, it sold on a monthly basis more than any other console.
It released March 3rd, 2017. So it's only been around for 4 or so years.
So it's been around since March 2018. It's been around for 43 months and it spent 33 of those at the top of the US monthly charts.
So that tells me that Mario is one of the greatest IPs 100%. In the gaming world.
Yep.
That's without a doubt.
You wouldn't even need that data to know that's the case. That's crazy. Yeah. The best part of this whole thing is that the PlayStation 5 has beaten it and nobody can buy one.
Yeah, that's a weird statistic.
Yeah.
I was like thinking about Mario the other day and I was wondering where I could find an interview for the voice actor.
Chris Pratt. Yeah, I've got him coming on. you mean Chris Pratt? No,
I mean the original.
Charles Martinet, Dan Allen Gaming exclusive interview. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Great guy. He's a national treasure. Yeah, it's crazy, man. That Switch. Yeah. But yeah, PS5. I did see that PS5 were opening up a registration in the US for our US listeners where you could put your email in to potentially get a unit this holiday. So maybe look into that, guys. I did see that was a story as well.
Yep.
So this was for September?
I believe so. Maybe August. Let me have a look.
Has Xbox ever come close?
Oh, yeah. No, September. Well, Xbox don't release their data, I don't believe.
I'd love to know how that Series X is doing right now.
Ever since like the One came out, I don't think they released their data.
Mm. I don't think they've ever won in a year, in a month, because otherwise they'd be harping on about it.
Do you think they ever won in the Xbox One era?
Nah.
No, never. They would never have
won. So it's been a while since they've been number one.
I think the Series X will do well. I actually think this is going to sound so silly, but I think the Pro iterations or even the next generation will be the real fight. Once Microsoft has all these established studios, Sony will have all these established studios. It'd be really cool. But anyway, that's a topic for another day.
That's going to be a big fight.
I love competition. Like, I love Xbox. So I grew up with an Xbox.
So DC Fandom was on. It started at 4 a.m. Australian. I thought about staying up, and I'm like, I was 20 minutes in. So I did stay up till 4 a.m.
Did you fall asleep?
Fell asleep after 20 minutes.
Yeah, it was
the worst show so boring. I've ever seen. Yeah,
I did it on times so two, and I scrubbed through everything. It just
and
kept
you
showing,
and me are the biggest DC fans.
Yeah, we are, and it just kept like showing bloody fan art and random like combos. I'm like, I don't care about this. Like, you know what I mean? And I mean,
it's like when you're in high school and you've got an assignment due the next day, and you're just putting something together.
I think I used to love the CW shows, the Arrowverse, but now I'm definitely not a fan. So seeing Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, I didn't care. I just skipped through them. I just mainly wanted to see Young Justice, Superman and Lois, and then maybe, obviously Suicide Squad and Gotham Knights. Yeah.
So we are here. Look, I did like some of the movie stuff. Like the Batman trailer was sick.
Yeah, of course.
But
Black Adam
and that, but. We're here to talk about games. So Gotham Knight and Suicide Squad, what did you guys think of what you saw?
I'll go first.
The Gotham Knight trailer didn't sell me.
I'll go first. I still just don't – I'm still just not hyped for these because I don't know how – like it's not the – it's not – the vibe just ain't there for me. I still don't really – we still aren't really sure how they're going to play, and that's the bit that's really, really concerning me. Not concerning me because I'm like – it's concerning me because I'm like, I don't know if it's for me. Yeah. Like, it might be great, but it just might not be for me. And if it's not, that's fine. But, like, I want them to be for me. But I'm looking at them, I'm like, yep, this is, like, you know, King Shark's there because he's all the rage at the moment. And I'm like, yeah, that's all good. And, like, yeah, it's edgy, whatnot. But I'm just like, I still don't know if these are for me. Like, you haven't sold me.
I didn't think particularly both trailers were any good, to be honest.
I didn't either.
It was just nice to see Wonder Woman, John Stewart, The Flash, like in a game like that, where it's like not Injustice. Like, I love Injustice, but in a more linear, like a superhero linear game, right? We've never seen that. We've never seen the Justice League in a game, like, you know what I mean? And man, it's just nice to see that.
I wish they made a game called Justice League where you play as them all. That would be so cool.
My issue is the DC universe is so overpowered. Every character in the DC universe is far more overpowered than any Marvel character.
We've talked about this before. You can make it work.
You can. You're right. And I do want to see that. But who would you give the license to?
Them. They had it.
Yeah, okay. Maybe once they've killed the Justice League or something.
They've clearly got it. The Justice League in this game.
Maybe they don't. Maybe see. And this is the other thing. They're not going to kill the Justice League. Right?
I know.
No one's going to die. That's why it's so dumb. They're not going to kill Superman.
The Suicide Squad people are going to die.
Well, do you think it's going to be the clones of them, the bad version clones that they're killing?
Well, I think the trailer alluded that Wonder Woman's good. She didn't get indoctrinated. But like, what I'm saying is, the only thing I could realistically see is like Guy Gardner dying instead of Hal Jordan. Like, you know what I mean? Because it's multiple Green Lanterns. So kill one of them off. Yeah, you know what I mean?
It's going to be like multiverse shenanigans. And it's like, oh, these are actually the Earth 2 versions of these characters.
And exactly, don't get me wrong. Like, I don't mind that. Like, I still want to have the satisfaction of killing the Justice League.
Did you notice Batman didn't show up? They had Superman, Green Lantern.
Yeah.
They specifically didn't have Batman show up for that trailer.
It's very Batman, but 100%. He had a contingency plan. He knew this was happening and he didn't get indoctrinated. Yeah. So
that's what I thought.
He's behind the indoctrination to begin with.
He is Amanda Waller.
Now, I interviewed Kevin Conroy recently, and he didn't give much away. I'm wondering if Batman is in the game, he'll be doing it. He didn't give much away.
He's not, man. He's dead. Haven't you seen Gotham Knights?
Wait, Gotham Knights is in there.
That's a different. That's which, a they're different yeah, universes.
Yeah, which one's in the Arkhamverse?
Knights, isn't
Gotham
it?
Gotham Knights. Yeah, yeah. Gotham Knights. That's so confusing. But yeah, Gotham Knights is in the Arkhamverse.
Yeah.
So confusing.
Anyway, I'm still excited for Gotham Knights. I'm just saying this trailer didn't do anything for me, and I don't really personally like the Court of Owls storyline, just personally.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love it. But this comes back to like one of those age-old arguments. It's like, as much as I love it, like I don't particularly want or need to see it adapted into anything else.
Mm.
Where I'm like, it was perfect. It was very good and very entertaining in the comic book. And yep. I don't necessarily need or want to see it on a game.
Mm-hmm. So there's two things here. I'm a bit let down because I just want more Arkham, like Arkham City, not Arkham Knight. I want more Arkham City, but I know this is not going to be an Arkham City style game. The other thing is I got hyped when I saw Batman Arkham Video, the YouTube channel, their trailer breakdown. And
I haven't seen that.
It gets you hyped. It gets you
really
hyped.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's like all the callbacks to the old games, and you realize that it's like an Arkham Asylum, like shot for shot, like sort of like in the trailer, and like it's really good. He points out a lot of like callbacks, and it looks very loyal to the Arkham.
Good to see him uploading again.
Ah, man, it's good to see him back. It's good to see him awaken from his slumber.
Batman Arkham videos. You can't get any better than that. Quality. Nah,
that is.
Ever dropped a combo?
He's never dropped a combo.
On screen.
Legend says he's still in a combo. He's still fighting right now. That is a top-tier AAA YouTube channel. Like, not a bad video. I would never skip a video of that guy. You know what I mean? Except like the 4-hour Riddler trophy guide, you know what I mean? But like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, phenomenal
stuff.
Yeah. Anyway, and the Suicide Squad trailer didn't do much either. To be honest, I was hoping for some gameplay. I know it was in-game footage, but I wanted to see some actual gameplay. If it's coming out this year, I don't think it is coming out this year.
No, they said 2022, early 2022.
I know. When I said this year, I mean 2022. I don't think it's coming out 2022.
Maybe not.
It's going to be a big year. Think about it. And they've already got that other Gotham Knights game.
It'll be end of 2022.
And you've got Hogwarts Legacy as well.
I think those two games need to be separated by at least 6 months.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
Probably like a year. 6 months. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
At least 6 months. Yeah. You can't imagine you can't have them back-to-back months. That'd be crazy.
And I don't think it affects the one gamer. Like it gives, like, one gamer has enough. Like, if I get one on launch, I could play the other one the next month. But it's for, like, to let it sit and let it sell through and then have the next one come through.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll keep an eye on that. FIFA wants to charge EA $1 billion for every 4 years. Yeah, we talked about this last week.
We talked about them changing the title, but
we didn't know it was $1 billion.
It used to be $150 million, right? Every 4 years, I think.
Now they want $1 billion. That's insane.
Shoot your shot, man. You know what I mean?
I mean, let me put it like this: if you include the sales of the game.
Yeah, we want $1 billion.
How much money do you think FIFA has made over the past 20 years? The games EA has made from
multiple billions.
10 billion.
Jordan?
Yeah, multiple billions.
Yeah, $20 billion.
Yeah. I was going to say 20, but I was like, nah, multiple.
So, and what I'm saying is,
how many years?
20.
Okay, that's a bit different. So, I want to know the last 5 years, what they've done.
Probably 19, like half 19. Of that, probably 10 billion, because that's when Ultimate Team started coming through. But what I'll say is the agreement for FIFA, the value of their agreement is worth $150 million a year. So
it's worth more than that. It should be.
Which is why FIFA are pushing for a billion.
Yeah. And they'll meet in the middle, you reckon?
Well, no. EA have pretty much said when dropping, we're going to... They registered. They trademarked the title EAFC.
Yeah, no, yeah. But I think they'll meet in the middle.
I don't think so. I think they'll drop it. I think they'll drop it. And I think, I personally think FIFA, the organization, will be so petty, they'll give it to someone else at a lower cost, like a PES. But here's my theory. Like, here's what I think. Like, this would be so interesting if they did this.
What?
Imagine if Take-Two, they are rich.
I knew you were going there, and dude, I was like, yeah.
They are the only ones who have the money to pay that. Imagine if they just said, okay, FIFA 2K22.
Yeah.
And just swooped in and then take all that money from EAFC. Like, they're both egregious companies. That's out of scope, man. Like, I know. It's out of
FIFA's scope. Mechanics and, like, they've built up that over so many years. Like, to match that gameplay would be very tough.
I think, yeah.
I would have thought.
And Ultimate Team, I think they said it made $1.2 billion for them last year. So, just had on 1 year, $1 billion, which is crazy. So, well, and I'll say FIFA is an incredibly corrupt organization. So,
did you see the meme that someone sent us about FIFA?
No, I didn't.
It was a guy in front of FIFA 17, 18, 19, 20.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the title was like, what did it say, Jordan?
I can't remember.
You know what kind of gamer this guy is, or something like that.
Have a look.
You know, you need to find it. Oh, but it was funny.
Yeah, so I think because EA recently said, I think in a press release,
yeah.
That they are looking to abandon or disassociate themselves from the FIFA title. And then FIFA came back saying, this is so petty. They said, the future of gaming and esports for football stakeholders must involve more than one party controlling and exploiting all the rights. So that's what FIFA went on to say. But one thing one thing that should be remembered.
Hold on. Sorry. Could 2K call their game FIFA?
Yeah, they could slap the FIFA title.
They could call it FIFA 2023.
I don't know about that. There could be some legal.
Yeah, I doubt that.
They could say FIFA 2K. I think 2K23 would be. But putting FIFA 2K, like, it's like every casual gamer's dream. They see 2K and FIFA. That's like the ultimate casual thing. It'll be like a gamer's dream. But one thing else, you guys should remember is, because even though EA are letting go of the FIFA title, they still have all the rights and licensing to all the players, championships.
For how long?
No, because that's independent of FIFA, that licensing. That's from a different entity. So they still have all that. So that's probably why they're so eager. They don't mind.
Okay. Right. So so that's safe with them?
Sorry?
The player stuff, the names.
Yeah.
That's all. Because that's a big thing that they need. They need that for Ultimate Team, obviously.
So this is what the EA press release said this when they were talking about reviewing its licensing agreement with FIFA. Through years of building our global franchise, we also know the authenticity is essential to the experience. So this is in regards to letting go of the FIFA licensing deal. This is why we focus so much energy on the collective strength of over 300 individual licensed partners that give us access to 17,000 plus athletes, 700 across 700 plus teams in 100 stadiums, 30 leagues in the world.
To license it.
I think there are licensing companies, yeah. And, you know, they still have UEFA, the Premier League, Bundesliga, La Liga. Like, they have all the official stuff. So it's not a huge issue, I feel like.
So what are they actually paying $1 billion for if they went through with
probably
FIFA?
The World Cup and the FIFA title and
there's a bunch of stuff there. Now I'm starting to think it's not worth it.
Well, I would disassociate myself from the company of FIFA. So I don't know. It's quite an interesting saga. And what I want to see is the vacuum that it creates. I want to see if EA, because EA have the stones, they can let go of this franchise. They can. They can just let it go. They have the money to do that. They might take a short-term hit. In the long term, they'll be fine. I want to see who tries to, like, just have a swing and take that FIFA deal. Who's going to do it? And I can't see many companies affording to pay $1 billion every 4 years. Mm-hmm. So take two.
We'll see how that develops.
Take that.
PS Plus getting three VR games next month.
Yes.
Along with the normal PS Plus games. So this is to celebrate 5 years of VR. 5 years.
What are the games? What are the games?
We don't know yet.
We don't know yet.
They did release the top five selling VR games on or top five most played VR games, which I believe was like Beat Saber, PlayStation VR Worlds, Tetris Effect.
I've got it here. So most played games globally by playtime hours, number five is Biohazard. Number four is Skyrim VR. Number three is PlayStation VR Worlds. Number two is Beat Saber.
Yep.
Number one is The Rec Room.
The Rec Room.
Is Rec Room, I'm assuming, is like VR chat? Is that sort of what it's like? I'm not too sure.
I actually don't know, can I be honest?
Yeah, no, that's fine. So I think, The Rec Room is more of that like VR chat style game where you can, it's social, social app. So that's obviously going to have the most hours because people are just socializing in there. Can I give you guys a prediction?
Guys, no, sorry. Go ahead. You go first.
The games will be leaked and we'll find out early.
And they'll probably be on like express.co.uk.
I will make a prediction that VR will never take off.
Because they're making VR too.
Because gamers are lazy.
They're too lazy.
They will not get off their ass.
We're gamers, Dan.
I'm one of them. I don't want to get off my ass.
I'll counter that sort of where I don't think it'll be, it's never going to be mainstream because of that point you just made, but I think it'll be there in some way for a while to come.
When do people game to relax? They don't want to get
Dan Allen Gaming, let me say one thing. The most successful console of all time, aside from the PS2,
is the Wii.
Which I think, does the Wii beat the PS2?
You're right, but you didn't have to have some stupid fuck off thing on your head.
But you do have to get up, use and the move controllers. You didn't have any motion sickness. You had to move around. You had the Wii board,
motion sickness, and it was arguably more fun.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, Dan. There is still a precedent there, and maybe it's not for the gamers. Maybe it's for the casual audience. It's for the mum and dads or the casuals who, the Wii was like that little lounge room staple of entertainment system. The VR could be. They just need to reduce.
The Wii was so damn good, man. That's such a good console.
They just need to reduce the barrier to entry for the VR to put it on, to set it up, and they'll be fine.
That 100% would, because can I be honest? That is the part that makes me not want to play it the most. I can get over like the little bit of queasiness. I can get over like having to stand up, whatever. It sounds so first world. But the thing that really annoys me the most.
We'll never get over standing up. I'm telling you.
The setup is dreadful.
But you can play Blood and Truth and stuff sitting down fully. You can play a lot of these games super hot. You can play sitting down.
You still got to set it up.
Yeah.
You still got to set it up.
I permanently had my my the VR box. I permanently had that connected when I was playing PS4. So to connect through the HDMI and then through the TV. So no matter what, that box will always be on whenever the PS4s run. So all I need to do is plug in the VR headset, and even that was too much.
VR is a dust collector. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, it's collecting dust at home.
I don't think I've played mine for a while. The last thing I played was Island Time. But I've got a few games on there that I want to play, but it's very much a, when I come home from work, the last thing I want to do is stand up
what I just said.
Yeah, I know. But maybe it's not for me. There are people out there who have a lot more free time.
There is some people, but that'll never take off because there's not that many people.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be a raging success, but I think it'll be there for a while to come.
If I was Sony, I would not be investing in VR at all.
I still want to play Astrobot. I still want to play Beat Saber. I still want to play, there are still a lot of games that are Blood and Truth. Like there are still heaps of games that I think VR have that are really good. Even like No Man's Sky VR, those sort of things. Like there's potential here.
Gimmicks.
Moss.
Moss was one of the best games. No one played it.
Farpoint.
No one cared. Farpoint was, it was all right. I've got the little shooter thing. I'm telling you, they're never going to get past getting off your ass.
It was a bold move by PlayStation, but calling it the PlayStation little shooter thing, it was a bold move, but it worked out.
What are they called? The Move controller? Was it? No.
The Zapper, I think it is, isn't it?
It's not called the Zapper.
Isn't it?
Okay.
No.
No, the Move controllers are two things, but you're talking about the thing you put the Move controller in.
Next story. Disney teases a Star Wars game announcement for December. December, Jeff Keighley's incredible Game Awards show.
AIM controller.
Please be.
Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
Please. Please be Rising Order or New Order.
No, it'll be Fallen Order 2, Jordan.
I'm so excited. Please be that.
What?
Please be Fallen Order 2.
Oh, you'd be happy for that.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
You know what? Yeah, Jordan, me and Vike were talking off air. What were we saying, Vike? You want to say it?
You go.
About Fallen Order 2. Go on.
Oh, no.
Fallen Order, the original one.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't the biggest fan of Fallen Order 1, but I very much respect Respawn for what they did. Clearly, they didn't seem like they wanted to do it. They were given it. And for what they were given in a short amount of time, they pulled off something quite brilliant and saved the Star Wars franchise from EA's egregious greediness of Battlefront. But which Battlefront 2 now is in a much better state. But I thought it was a bit of an underwhelming game in terms of story. None of the characters are very memorable. The gameplay was fun. It was good. I just think it was, I don't know. Maybe I found the game a bit too difficult, but I don't know. Something about the combat just didn't vibe with me.
I be honest? I liked it so much because it was so fun. I'm not someone who, I'm probably a bit of an unpopular, maybe not so much unpopular because of, the state of Star Wars and things at the moment. I'm not a massive Star Wars person, so I don't go in hoping for, world-changing stories or anything like that. But I just had so much fun playing that game. I loved the combat. I thought it was, at the start, those frogs, is it the Bogano toads or whatever they are?
Oh, yeah.
How much they kick your butt. And you're like, how am I ever going to keep playing this game? And then you eventually figure it out and then you kill them. And then it's just onwards and upwards from there. And then the end, when at the very end, but the character who shows up, I'm like, I was so hyped. So hyped. I just thought it was fun. It was it was a really awesome game. I love the traversal. I love the way that you move through the worlds. Yeah, the story wasn't groundbreaking. The problem with the story not being groundbreaking is we know where it's set, so we sort of know what happens. There's so many limits placed on what can actually happen because he's not going to restore order. He's not going to bring back the order. He's not going to do this. He's not going to do that. Because of the limitations of where it sits in the universe.
I was just going to say, I agree with Jordan. I think that's why I don't like prequels as much because it's I already know what's going to happen in the end, which is why I'm not that keen for the new Game of Thrones prequel show because I'm I already know how it all ends.
You should. Oh, no. But you should be because, oh, my goodness. the book. It's such a side is one of my favorite. I like it almost more than any of the Game of Thrones books.
But if we know that it's all going to end,
you don't like prequel. What about Darth Maul?
No, that was different though, because that was the goal of that story was to show the fall, and that so that had a reason. But for instance, what Jordan's saying with Star Wars Jedi Order, Fallen Order is there's nothing they can do that's groundbreaking, revolutionary to have a huge impact on the story, which is why they need to bring back Kyle Katarn.
Oh, that was what I was going to say. I was going to take it seriously. I was going to take it seriously and say they needed to make not the destination the enjoyable part. They needed to make the journey you go through really enjoyable and have a predictable ending. And just quickly taking it back to Game of Thrones, that's what this prequel is going to have. The journey along is going to be so much better. And the ending will be the ending. It's going to have no effect on what happens 300 years or 100 years in the future of that or whatever. That's what I think Fallen Order didn't have.
They missed the ball on a Game of Thrones video game. I know there was one, and it was terrible.
There was a few. Maybe there was the Telltale one.
Telltale, but again,
the Telltale one was so interesting.
I'm thinking an open world, For Honor style gameplay, something like that.
Yeah,
I'll watch RPG. The prequel if it's if it becomes the next like zeitgeist, like Game of Thrones,
it's definitely got, there's definitely moments in there that are going to be highly memeable and are going to be as shocking as
it'll be a mainstream show.
Yeah, if it becomes 100%. A mainstream, like Squid Game, then I'll watch it.
Oh, yeah, it will be 100%. Anything Game of Thrones will be.
Do we think it could be anything other than Fallen Order 2? What would we want it to be?
It can't, it's that there's no other option.
Yeah. Really. Well, they did just release Jedi Academy, or they're announcing something about Jedi Outcast and Jedi Academy coming to
Fallen Order. Game. It's been a couple of years now, so they would have some stuff ready to go, I would say.
The only thing I could suggest that it could be, and this is a pipe dream. So we've got Knights of the Old Republic coming back. One thing I could see them doing is the Old Republic doesn't exist in Star Wars canon anymore. Like it's not called, that's not a time period anymore. It's called the High Republic. What I could see them potentially doing is announcing a project that doesn't come out until after the Knights of the Old Republic remake comes out, called Knights of the High Republic. And it's a game with like a similar sort of feel and it's set in the High Republic era, because like all of the comic, like not, sorry, not all the comics, but there's a lot of comic books and a lot of novels, and that's set in this High Republic era that Disney is exploring now. And having a game set during that time would match really well, I would think.
Yeah.
Not that I think that's going to happen, but
no. It
could be something that happens.
Now, did we touch on, just for our last segment of news here, what's the story with the demos that we were talking about off air, guys, where you have to download and it counts? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so we're talking about last time how there's game demos like Death Stranding, 6 hours, Sackboy. Game
Trials. Name is Trials. Yeah.
Yeah, 5 hours, and we realize that it's from the timer starts on the moment you actually press down, trigger the download.
So, what was your answer when I said if it takes 7 hours to download Death Stranding, see, you can't play it?
I don't think you can.
What?
I don't think you can.
That can't be right.
If it takes 5 hours to download, that means you have 1 hour to play the game. Yeah, that's
That can't be. Are we sure? Weird oversight. Are we 100% sure?
Yeah.
My only reason I can see this being the case is that they are avoiding people exploiting it.
But how? Start the timer when you first open the app.
Exactly. I can see hijinks going on where people like figure out a way where they can, and it's silly, but I can see why they've done it. I wish it wasn't that way, but I get it, because it's like, it's 6 hours real time. So it's not even from like, it's not even like if your PlayStation turns off, that timer stops. I mean, you turn it back on, it keeps going. It's like, no, you have 6 hours from when you press download to play.
So you can't play it offline either, I'm guessing.
I would say not, but I'd say, yeah, I guess not. I'd say there would be something that prevents that too.
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense, though.
I just found that shocking. I just couldn't believe it. Yeah. Not that anyone would take 7 hours to download it.
In two ways. Shocking in terms of, I can't believe that. And shocking in terms of, that's crap.
Yeah. I meant the latter. I meant the second one. Yeah, I agree. Far out.
Shocking is twofold.
Are you guys, this is a bit off topic. I'm just going to another topic. Are you guys keen on getting the GTA remasters?
I want to see how remastered they are.
Yes, because Rockstar, this is from the Rockstar support page, it was leaked, I believe, on that. So I'm reading this from Push Square. So they basically said that GTA 3, Vice City, and San Andreas will now update it for a new generation with across the board enhancements, including brilliant new lighting and environmental upgrades, higher res textures, increased draw distances, GTA 5 style controls and targeting, and much more, bringing these beloved worlds with all new level of detail. So high res, classic, you know, your classic enhancements, your high res and your textures and your lighting. I mean, that's going to be good if you get like some sort of ray tracing. But draw distance, I think, I don't know if you guys ever remember playing like Vice City, the old GTAs. You're just like flying and there's just buildings that just load in the horizon. And it's like, that's all I knew back then. That's all how I used to play. I'm like, this is so cool.
Yeah. But it wasn't like, we'd think that as a positive, like, oh, wow, look how quickly they're popping in.
It's like, dude, that's so far. But it's going to be good. But one thing I really liked about this was that it's a GTA 5 style controls, because that was desperately needed. I don't need a square button to shoot, and I want the left trigger to like aim and shoot. And it also said targeting. So I'm really hoping. One thing I really loved about GTA 5 was the reticle was just a dot. And like you almost had to figure out the recoil for yourself.
Well, locked in.
Locked in sort of thing. So I kind of hope it's like that. Because yeah, they've obviously always changed it from back in the day. Like GTA Vice City was just a static circle and a dot in the center of the screen.
I'm on the boat that Rockstar's shooting is outdated.
I think, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it suited Red Dead because Red Dead's weapons are so primitive. And it was fine. And like, I was all about the lock on really for Red Dead. Man, Red Dead was good.
Yeah, but GTA 5, yeah.
In GTA 5, yeah, yeah. And this is another unpopular opinion of mine. I just don't think GTA 5 is that, like, I just didn't find it that enjoyable.
Yeah, that is unpopular, but no, I like to hear those takes.
Yeah. Again, I only played the single player part of it, but yeah, that's another story for another day. That's another
topic. You're not alone. You're not alone.
Yeah.
You're definitely not alone. Yeah. And speaking of competitors, speaking of GTA, it's competitor Saints Row. Me and Dan were just talking about this. Does not look good. So we just saw gameplay that came out.
It looks shocking.
Oh, that's a hot take.
It looks horrible.
I was looking at the comments and everyone's saying, I guess this is just how it's going to be with games from now on, with health bars on top of every enemy. Ugly health bars. Like, get rid of these ugly health bars. Get rid of the health bars and all the enemies. All the
you got to feel sorry for some of these games, though. They're just getting bashed as soon as you show the gameplay criticism.
I wonder if the health bars get, like, this is such a far out question. I wonder if the health bars can be turned off, though, because a lot of games have health bars and it's like, do you want them off? And it's like, oh yeah, turn them off.
One thing I liked about GTA, like, they never had health bars on the enemies. You just shot them and until they fell to the ground. And it's like, now, every game, it's like there's direct feedback, like Far Cry. You know, you just know how much health the enemy has.
You can turn it off, though.
Oh, okay, fair enough. One thing I would say is I feel like Saints Row is going through a bit of an identity crisis. Like, it doesn't know what to do. Does it stick with the wackiness of Saints Row 4? Does it go back to the gangster roots of Saints Row 2, 1 and 2? Or does it sort of go to this GTA 5 sandbox route? Or does it try to meld it all? Like, I feel like they're trying to forge a new identity in Saints Row 5 and go from there, but it doesn't look like it's paying off. I'm going to wait. Obviously, we're all going to wait, but
I'm going to play it tomorrow.
I don't have a very good opinion of this game right now. I mean, it looks okay. Like, I'm probably not as critical of it as Dan is, but I can see where he's coming from. And for me, I'm a bit more optimistic. This will not sell
well at the state it's in now. It needs to be pushed back about a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not joking, guys. They need to overhaul this game. It's not going to do well. Take my advice, developers, please. If you want to have good sales, please take my advice.
I don't think they do, man. It's controversial, but I reckon they don't.
All right, to wrap up, you guys want to talk about Deathloop?
Yeah, so I know you had a chance to talk about Deathloop a little while ago, Dan, because you'd finished it and had it early and such. Vike and I are sort of on the we move like glaciers. We're slow and steady.
I finished it 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I finished actually a week ago as well. So maybe the podcast moved slow. I don't know.
Well, I wasn't here last week, so we couldn't talk.
Yeah, that's true. Yes, we waited for it.
Yeah, what were you busy doing? Seriously.
I think I was in bed.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Yeah, great. Great, everybody was in
bed. No, I don't know where I was. I had something on.
Yeah, something on, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
I forgot what it was, but there was a reason why.
He's forgotten exactly what was on. Yeah. But there is a reason, guys. He just doesn't.
There was a good reason. There was a
really good reason. He's just not going to tell us.
I'll tell you off air. And then you can shame me on air.
No, I want you to say it on air.
We'll see.
Tell us your address too on air. So Deathloop, Jordan, let's hear your thoughts, mate.
All right. So my thoughts. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a fabulously put together game. I think the overall package is outstanding. The world that they've managed to create, the way that you play the game in terms of the way that you follow the leads, I think makes a really overwhelming concept for a game and an idea that was initially overwhelming for Vike and I, like just before we started playing it, we remember we saying on the pod, like, man, is this going to be a lot to handle? Like, how are we going to go about this? It's super easy to follow the way that the UI is laid out, the way that the leads are laid out, and the way that you actually, and your objective is very clear from the get-go. Said that, I think I enjoyed this game. If I had to give it two different scores, like a game for my personal enjoyment and then just what I think of it overall as a game, there'd be two different scores. Because I think it'd be...
Why is that?
I don't know whether these like... Because it is a bit of a puzzle game, definitely. You do need to do a bit of experimenting and problem solving on your own to try and figure out like... It's almost like... it's puzzle game isn't the right word. It's almost an adventure game where it's like figuring out how the puzzle pieces fit together, like how this piece of fish affects the mug on the desk that then turns the beer tap off that then allows you to kill that person. Like there's a bit of that going on and that's not really my thing. It was my same problem I had with Hitman where there's almost a bit, a bit too much freedom, but it didn't overwhelm me and it didn't get in my way too much, which I thought was really good. But yeah, I'd probably have to give it two different scores because my overall enjoyment was stifled a little bit where there was times where I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I can see the objective marker there, but I don't exactly know what I'm supposed to be doing. And that sort of, I'd maybe get a little bit bored where I'd play it for like half an hour and be like, I'm walking around Upton and I have no idea what I'm actually like. I'm at the objective marker. Don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm going to turn this off and go play Hades instead. And so like that happened more than once. That happened more than once. But then I got into a groove and I managed to enjoy it. So if I had to give it a score for my personal enjoyment, I'd probably say like 7.5 to 8, probably an 8. But then if I had to give it as an overall product, what I think of it, it's easily, like it'd have to be between a 9 and 9.5 and I'd be leaning towards a 9.5. The thing that would be holding it back would be the ending. I was just like, I don't know what I was expecting. I don't know if I was waiting for something more to happen, but like the ending I got, I was like, from the get-go, I was like, this is what I'm going to do. Like I chose to break the loop and I broke the loop and I was expecting something to happen in the end. It's like, oh no, you just broke the loop. I'm like, oh, okay. I don't know what I was expecting, but yep, loop's broken now, but then I'm back to where I am anyway. So I can keep playing through. Like the story's ended. Back to what I can keep doing.
The ending was disappointing. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I don't know what I was expecting. Like, I don't know why I'd expect anything more because...
There was a twist there, but that twist was revealed quite early on. I think you know what I'm talking about.
Is this with Juliana?
Yeah, the dynamic. Yeah.
But I didn't even feel like it affected me at all because like I was just like, okay.
It could have been handled a bit better, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was sort of just in like a random audio log. Like, couldn't it have been a cutscene or something? Yeah, the
maybe
world
they should
created,
have left that to the end.
Yeah, maybe the world you've created and they've created and all the different things that happen in the world. I love that the puzzles are randomized, like the codes, so you can't just Google the codes. Like personally,
that's great. Tell me though, did the what was I going to say? The four maps.
Yep.
What were your thoughts on those four maps, you two? Because did it get repetitive at any point for you or was it versatile enough for the different times of day and the different things going on?
I'll quickly just get my two cents in, then we can go to Vike. I thought it was a little bit like they weren't different enough. Like I sort of felt like it was, but then it is the same island. So it doesn't want to be too different because it's the same island. I got a little bit like samey. I was like, oh, this is sort of the same thing.
Yep.
But I like how they changed during the different times. And I loved the storytelling elements where it was like, oh, these two goons are talking about launching some plane in the afternoon. So if I come back in the afternoon, they're going to be doing that. I love that part.
Yeah.
So like the environmental storytelling was excellent.
Vike. Nice.
I had myself muted there.
Muted.
Then specifically with the maps or just my review of Deathloop?
Start with the maps, then
the
go
maps.
Okay. Yeah, I like the maps. I think you know, if it's only four maps, you have to nail it, don't you? And I said that from the get-go. And I think two or three of the maps I really liked. And I think one I just, it was like, okay, wasn't a fan. But
was that the one with the ice? Was that the bay? Was it
the one with
Bay?
the bar, underground bar? I think you might be talking about no, not the ice. That's the last one. That's Carl's one. I didn't mind that one. It was The one where you have to kill the lovers. You know, that
map. Yeah. Is that so, Upton?
Oh, no, remember. That wasn't Upton. That was, I forgot it was, Dan, but.
Yeah, I've forgotten as well.
Yeah, it was the one where, it's a bar or whatever, but.
Yeah, the underground place.
Yeah. Look, I thought the maps were good for what they were. What I really liked was they were easy to memorize, because in a game like Deathloop, where you're doing it again and again, you need to know every nook and cranny, the routes, how to escape. And it was quite easy to memorize the routes of the map, because it was, while it was big and dense and good quality, a lot of stuff happening, it was simplistic in its design. And it's that sort of good simplicity that every Call of Duty map that's good nails. That's simplistic, but, you know, that simplicity of a map that's still good quality. And this is not a Call of Duty map, but I'm just saying the philosophy of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I liked it, yeah. But I guess going all the way back to what I think of Deathloop, I'm pretty much agree with everything Jordan said. I really loved it. Phenomenal game, great quality. I love the banter between Colt and Juliana. I love all the little characters like Wenji, or the million Wenjis or whatever, you know, and you know, all the other sort of characters, they seemed pretty cool. They were good fun. They had good banter. Even the NPCs just talking to each other sometimes just made me laugh, some of the stuff. So it was really good. One thing I would say is, I was a bit overwhelmed at the start, where there was like, it just seemed like there was so much to do. And I feel like they could have done a better job in organizing the UI to make it followable. I guess once I did understand like all these different quest lines, it made sense, but I don't
know. There's a lot going on. I know what you mean.
There's a lot going on. The UI didn't make it easy for me to follow. But once you get over that hump, it's very rewarding. So maybe it's just, you know, you got to go over that hump. But I guess what Jordan was saying, where there was too much freedom, I agree and disagree, but I very much agree. The what I'd say, the other disagreement I'd say is, I like that they reined back the fact that it's not like there's a million different ways you can end the loop.
Yeah.
There's only one solution.
Mm.
And I thought it was going to be some sort of Hitman style, million different ways to end the loop. And that would have been far too overwhelming for me. So I liked that. But at the same time, I kind of felt like I missed out on a lot of Deathloop, because every person I killed, every character, every key person, I just shot. You know, I just shot them in the head. I didn't do anything cool, or, you know, like didn't bring him onto the dance floor for the last guy, or didn't like, you know, do something funny with, you know, Wenji or whatever. Like, I know there was different ways you could do it. I just shot them all. And I felt like maybe I missed out on something there.
Oh,
like, you know,
right.
It's interesting you bring that up.
Yeah. Right. You know, the gas girl, like, you know, even her.
You didn't push
her
in gas?
Yeah, I didn't push her. I just shot her. I just snuck up behind her and shot her in the head and then stayed invisible. So it's like, you know, I kind of felt like I missed out. I guess the other thing is...
That's your fault, is it?
Or that's
another thing. Same with Far Cry. Is it... Whose fault is
no,
that?
No, but I guess I'm not faulting the game for it, because I enjoyed it. I enjoyed shooting them. Yeah. That was fun for me. Okay. The other thing I'd say is, the weapons, the equipment, the... what do you call the blink and those abilities?
Slabs.
The slabs. They were good. They were fun. Quite varied. You could obviously switch up the gameplay whatever you like. I tend to just use Blink. That's all I used.
Blink and Aether.
What was Aether?
The invisible one.
Invisible. That's all what I used. That's all I used. Blink was the teleport.
Yeah. Could they change the name? Oh, no, Shift. It was called Shift.
It's called Shift, but it's Blink.
Dishonored
Shift
is Blink. Yeah.
Shift is what I use the most. Yeah.
I would say the issue was, the only negative I could say is, this might sound cocky, but it really isn't, the game got a bit too easy by the end.
Oh, yeah.
I completed, once I got to the golden loop, I remember that one where I had to kill the lovers, I did that in about 45 seconds, like in a minute. And I got a trophy for it, which I didn't even know, where you go through a loop and kill no one but the targets. And I didn't do that meaning to do it, because I just absolutely just blitzed through with the blinks, didn't even get spotted. I just got in there, shot them, got out. And like, it was so easy.
Were you rushing it at that point?
Yeah, I guess I was rushing, but I'm saying it got really easy. Like, I could just headshot enemies with the silenced pistol, bang, 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 you know? And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying it did get a bit easy. And I'll say, But I liked the loop. I liked the story. Once again, the ending was a bit of that sort of arcane, you know, ambiguous ending. Aside from that, the loadouts are good fun. Modifications are good. Sorry, Dan. Yeah.
Are you surprised that this is the lowest selling Arcane game?
I'm kind of surprised in a way that
are you more sad for them?
More
that
sad.
They've
for
tried
them.
To do something new and it just because no one's buying it.
Arcane games never sell well, I feel. They're all niche. Like Dishonored was the only one that sort of made some sort of mainstream relevance.
This is sold worse than Prey.
Is that a result of it not being on both consoles though as well?
Yeah, I mean that would have a play.
But you could say,
well, there's 11 million PS5s. They've got nothing to play. Why aren't they buying it?
Yeah, that's a good point.
There was nothing out at that time. You know.
And it got tens from IGN and GameSpot. I just don't see good reviews.
And still wasn't enough.
Yeah,
that confirmed to me that reviews don't mean anything in sales. In a grand scheme of things.
It was a phenomenal game, and I had so much fun. Like, I had so much fun doing the loops, even doing the golden loop. It was just so much fun, this game.
And I'm having fun going back and doing things that I missed.
Yeah, yeah.
See, like, I'm doing that because I want the platinum as well. But, like, finding out is doing what you said, finding out there's different ways to kill them. I'm like,
Even like the challenges with the boxes, the ticking boxes and all these other stuff that I didn't even really
I loved
getting the batteries and trying to find like good loot, because there was obviously the story missions and there was also gear missions.
Did you get the dual wheel pistols?
This is my loadout: the silence pistol, the dual wheel pistol, and I think that was all I really used. And the other one was maybe the sniper rifle. No, I switched that out for something else in the end, but that's all I really used. Yeah.
The nail gun, didn't use that.
I used a nail gun until I got the silence pistol.
I was exactly the same.
Headshot. I was running into buildings like Splinter Cell, Mark, and Execute. Just
sounds bang, like bang, Far bang. Cry again.
No.
Headshot mania.
Oh, yeah, in that way it is. But
overall thoughts?
Phenomenal game. I really loved it. I'd give it a 9 easy.
Yeah.
I'd say 9.
I really enjoyed it.
8.5.
It's not 9. In the run. I wouldn't say it even comes close for me in terms of game of the year running.
Yeah.
I don't get me wrong. Still really, really enjoyed it, but I enjoyed Returnal and enjoying Hades a lot more.
I agree with Jordan. My game of the year. So I don't know what I gave Returnal review, but once again, retrospectively, my scores change. So I'm giving my score for Returnal right now is at 9.5. 0.5 because of the story.
Yeah, same.
And people might be wondering why story's not bigger. Why don't I put it down bigger? Why is story only half a point? It's because Returnal's not a story. You know, it's not a story game. So I weight it less for a game like that.
It was actually more the ending to the story, because I was enraptured point, the whole time. And then the ending was like, what?
Yeah. That's actually a good point too. Yeah. So Returnal, like, man, that is one of my favorite games I've ever played, period. But... It's
so much fun.
Yeah, like I'm honestly like very, very, very conflicted whether I should give It Takes Two a return of the game of the year. I gave It Takes Two a 10, and I just think it's such a unique, special experience. But Returnal, man, that is probably one of the best shooters I've ever played. Technically wise, oh, man, the roguelite's so good. And the reason, you know what, I was watching the Dev Reacts series on IGN where they reacted to the speedrun. They reacted to the Returnal speedrun.
Oh, yeah.
And they were talking a lot about, they were trying not to spoil it, but they were talking a lot about the story and the songs that were playing actually point to this and all this sort of story. I'm like, I didn't really concentrate on that. And that's probably to my detriment, because I would have appreciated the story more if I liked those things. So
I think I'm going to need to do a watch through of like a YouTube video that explains the story a little bit more. Cause maybe it just went over my head. Cause you're right. I didn't pay attention enough a little bit, but I need to go back to it.
I was too busy trying to survive Atropos, but man, even the worlds are beautiful, man. I love Atropos. I love the guns. I love Returnal, man.
Even if you could see my face when you go into the sixth biome and you go like, I won't spoil it for people who want to play it, because you should play it. But when you go into the sixth biome, I was scared. I was like, oh no.
If you played it now, guys, would you be confident to beat the game in one playthrough?
One run?
Yeah.
No.
I reckon I would be.
No, you need, there's too many like of the passive upgrades you'd need.
No, not from the beginning. But if you said, like, let's say you had all your stuff and you just do another run.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, one run? No way. No.
Start from the start.
No, you need to unlock stuff. Not unlock stuff.
Well, someone would have done it out there.
Watch the speedrun. Sure, someone did it. Someone did. So that's what I watched, the IGN video.
How long did it take him?
I think it was like 20-something. Oh, no, it was like 30-something minutes or 20-something minutes, and the devs react to it. It's phenomenal. How? It's such a funny game.
30 minutes to beat the entire game.
Yeah, he just killed it. Wow. He found like an exploit and used that, and pretty interesting. I don't know if it was, I think it might have been an hour or something, but it was very short. Yeah, it was very quick.
Yeah, run. He probably skipped a few sections.
No, he didn't skip anything. He did all the bosses and all the biomes. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. He's really good. Hmm. Didn't waste a single time, skipped every enemy, did the whole game with just the pistol and no other upgrades. So pretty impressive.
Jesus. All right. Anything else, guys, before we wrap up?
No. No. I'm excited. Beautiful. For the year ahead, I really want to play Hades and Death Stranding. So excited!
Death Stranding, Viker.
The director's cut.
Maybe we should have a big review of Death Stranding.
I would love to do that.
Yeah, like at the end of the year or something. That'd be good.
Yeah,
I can't wait to play the director's cut. I'm not playing through the whole game again. I'm gonna upload my save and then do some of the extra contents there. But I'm like, like itching to deliver some stuff.
How many hours did it take you, Jules?
That's a good question.
100?
Nah, to be, I don't know. To
60
beat it
to 80?
To beat it into platinum and a different. I'd have to go. I'll tune in next episode and I'll let you know.
All right, guys, make sure you follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and later. We'll see you
later.
Remus.